So turn in your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 38 first. I'm going to go from there and then to Daniel on our next leg of looking at things of the end times. The Bible, as we have seen over the last month or so, speaks of terrible days coming in the future. My personal conviction is that the host of the disorders that are talked about will take place after the church is taken out of the world. I believe that because Israel, as a regenerate nation, is right at the heart of the problem in the future. And it's not until the Gentile age closes that Israel will become a believing nation, indeed the only believing nation in the world at that time. We looked last week, remember, at the four major empires of world history. There was a prophecy of Daniel that basically said, look, we got four major empires, and then the global empire of the kingdom of God will be in place, which would be the age of the Gentiles, prior to Armageddon. Those empires were Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. When Rome fell, that was the last of world domination. The only thing that even came close and didn't make it was the British Empire. There was an expression back in the days before World War II that the sun never set on the Union Jack, which meant that the British flag was in so many places in the world that it was always daylight somewhere where the British were in control. Since those days, there have been some superpowers, but no world-dominating power. Perhaps one might argue that the American dollar has been the dominating empire currency-wise, but that certainly wouldn't be true politically or militarily. Now, let's shove those four kingdoms aside for now. We're in the age of the Gentiles. The gospel is being preached. God's elect are being called in from all corners of the world. And now we fast forward past the rapture of the church, but some of the things I'm going to mention now must be in progress before the rapture of the church, because they're not going to just suddenly happen like popcorn. So tonight I want to look at the Russian Confederacy that's spoken of in Ezekiel and its part in persecuting Israel in the future. I think I'll make a few comments about this and then read this part of Ezekiel 38. Prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say at the return, at that time, Russia will certainly be a major player in the world. Geographical directions in the Bible always center around Palestine. So if a prophecy is given that there'll be an invasion from the north, the reader is supposed to understand that you're standing in Jerusalem and it's going to be somebody from the north of Jerusalem. If there's going to be an invasion from the south, that means from Jerusalem. It's going to come up through Egypt or Gaza. The cities of Meshech and Tubal are mentioned in Ezekiel 38. You're going to read it with me in a minute. And there is no question that Meshech is philologically connected to Moscow, and that Tobolsk is representative of the river Tubal, two great cities on two separate rivers. If you look back in the history of these two words, Meshech and Tobolsk, they were tribes in northern Turkey which migrated northeast over the Caspian Sea into the Baltic area and then into Russia, where they are presently located. Also, in Ezekiel 38, verse 3, I want to point that out now. You see the word Rosh, R-O-S-H. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and prince of Rosh, which of course is Russia, Meshech, and Tubal. All this, you know, if you want to think of Mr. Putin or people worse than him, you can do that. But What the passage is pointing to is that there will be a power to the north of Israel centered in this this nation. And I mentioned to you, did any of you go home and look at, do you have a globe? Remember I said go home and look at a globe and find where Tel Aviv is, Jerusalem. Go due north and you'll see that same line runs right through Moscow. So there is no question that the power from the north, which described in these days, is Russia. They're going to have some buddies with them, if we read these words correctly. Persia will be with them. That would be Iraq and Iran join Russia at this latter time. Also in the list of allies, there is one conspicuously absent, because some of the names that are mentioned here, like verse 5, Ethiopia, you know where that is, Put or Kush, same thing. It seems to say that Russia will be attended by Persia, Iraq, Iran, northern coast of Africa. What happened to Egypt? Egypt's not mentioned here. We'll see in Daniel that it is mentioned as the power from the south, and even though God has already prophesied in the Old Testament that Egypt will never again rise to be a world power, it's going to be continue to be a world menace. And when we get to Daniel, I'll describe this later, but it looks like there's a pincher invasion of Israel. Now, this is post-rapture when Israel is a believing nation, the people of God, because the Antichrist comes in and boasts of great things. There's going to be an invasion from the north and then an invasion from the south. It would look as though when Egypt invades from the south, that will be Russia's cue to invade from the north, to say nothing of the power from the east that's also supposed to be coming in. But we're going to deal with China in that later. All right, I've said a lot. I want to get your attention pointed toward Russia. I'm going to take you now to Ezekiel 38 and read a good chunk of this chapter, hesitating at a few points to make things clearer than they might otherwise be. Okay, this is a prophecy given by the prophet Ezekiel about the latter days. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Gog in the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Russia, Meshech, Moscow, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Say this, thus says the Lord God, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer, I'm not quite sure where that is, with all its troops, that could some say it's Germany. The only way that makes sense is if it's part of the unified Europe with the Antichrist at the time. Gomer with all its troops, Beth Togomara from the remote parts of the north with all its troops, many peoples with you. Now, the you, remember, is Russia. So Russia's the hub of the alliance, and all these countries are with it. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword. You understand what that means? I mean, coming into talking about Israel, Palestine, that land that has been just cut and chopped to pieces and being fought over for so long, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations. That's happening now, to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. You'll go up, you, Russia, and all your allies, and you will come like a storm. You'll be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan, and you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest, that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates, to capture, spoil, and to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited, and against the people who are gathered from the nations, that's Israel, who have acquired cattle and goods, who live at the, get this, at the center of the world. Sheba and Dan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all its villages, will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil? Therefore prophesy, son of man, that's Ezekiel, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and a mighty army. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will come about in the last days that I shall bring you against my land in order that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified through you before their eyes, O God. Let me pause there for a second. What God is saying is, I'm calling you, Russia and your alliance, to invade my land so that I can break you in pieces so that the whole world will know who I am and who you are not. This is a pattern of what God has done in the Old Testament. He has raised up an enemy against Israel to put them down so that everyone knows who the Lord God of Israel is. I'm just going a little further. Thus says the Lord God, are you the one of whom I have spoke, of whom I spoke in former days through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for many years that I would bring you against them? It will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger and in my zeal and in my blazing wrath. I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. You can read the rest. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 11. It's the next book. If you're wondering where Daniel is. Daniel speaks of Egypt as the king of the south. And what fascinates me about this particular passage, you remember that we read last week that when the Antichrist, remember that we talked about those the four empires, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, as they were personified in animals. And you remember that there was a horn that uprooted three other horns, and this one horn spoke very boastfully. This, to me, is the person of the Antichrist who boasts great things. And this is brought out here in this passage. Let me make sure I get the right spot. Daniel 11:29. I believe the he in this sentence is the Antichrist, or the man of lawlessness, as Thessalonians labels him. At the appointed time, he will return and come into the south, but this last time it will not turn out the way it did before. For ships of Kittim will come against him, therefore he will be disheartened and will return and become enraged at the Holy Covenant and take action so that he come back and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Get that? Is the Holy Covenant has to do with God's relationship to Israel, so it's obvious that he's burnt against that. Verse 31, forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. In different commentaries, you know, differ on what this means. The gist of evangelical commentators believe that when Israel, at some point in the future, will rebuild a temple and start their old sacrificial system, in which God will interrupt it and cause them to see that Christ was the sacrifice and that they will become a believing nation. Now we're back to the Antichrist in verse 32. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many, yet they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. Now when they fall, they will be granted a little help, and many will join with them in hypocrisy. And some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Now these next few verses are the verses where the arrogance and the really self-appointed deity of the Antichrist comes out. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god. He will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women. Does that mean he will be a homosexual? I don't know. It's interesting, isn't it? He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. Instead, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. And he will take action against the strongest of the fortresses with the help of a foreign god. He will give great honor to those who acknowledge him, and he will cause them to rule over the many, and will parcel that land for the price. At the time of the end, the king of the south will collide with him. And the king of the south in Daniel, I believe, is Egypt. The king of the north, we've already discussed that, will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and he will enter countries, overflow them, and even pass through. He will also enter the beautiful land, which is Palestine. Many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and foremost of the sons of Ammon. Now, do I understand all this? No. But as you read it, you definitely can, you know, if you're like me, when you put a jigsaw puzzle together, what pieces do you go for first? You go for the straight pieces, right, to make the border. Then you slowly fill in. Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11 give us the border. When, what empires are going to be engaged, what the Antichrist will look like, that Israel is going to be a reborn nation, that forces are going to come through. And this last piece, very interesting, it looks like Russia and the king of the south will actually be warring against the Antichrist right in the middle of Palestine. Armageddon, this is all part of the last wars. And as we go in the next couple of Sunday nights, I'm going to try to put some more pieces in the puzzle, but I hope you can see a border here, that this is after the nations have gathered into Israel, Russia's powerful. Egypt, which right now can barely wash its own face, is going to become powerful enough again to be a menace, but never a world power. So the things that you see prophesied are going to happen. Just how, when, and where, it's kind of hard to see. But anytime you see, you know, Russia come back from what looked like a real punch in the nose when the Soviet Union fell apart, you know, that piques your interest, doesn't it? The nations gathering to Israel, Russia getting stronger, Europe forming in such a way that an Antichrist may come. My personal opinion is that the world has to go through some kind of economic collapse in order for someone, as did Hitler, came out of the ashes of such high inflation, people just surrendered their rights to have anybody take over and bring order out of a fallen economy. If that happens worldwide, people will do the same thing again. Do anything you need to. Just get bread on my table, and their rights will go, and the man of lawlessness will arise at that time. Okay. Is your head spinning? Mine is a little. Okay, may God add his blessing to our attempt to study parts of his word here.